It's hard to start writing the new year. I got the sermon title, The Three Goals, Three Spiritual Goals for 2015, but the name that I save it under in my computer, you'll see the last number there to the right is a 4. It's supposed to be a 5, 2015, because that's the date that it's preached there. But last Sunday evening, we dealt with being a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to be dealing with what we see in verses 1 and 2. I know that there's many spiritual goals that would be profitable for you to pursue in 2015. In fact, I do hope that you do establish some spiritual goals. Pastor Longsign gave an excellent challenge to that. He still has some study notes left if you didn't get to hear that one on watch night. It was an excellent one, and I posted the key points on Facebook. But I'm going to pursue the long line, but along that same line, but head in a hair of a different direction. I know that there's a lot of people, as he said, there's a lot of people that, have goals to lose weight, and I don't think that that's a bad thing, but just remember this, bodily exercise, the scripture says, profits little. That means a little, but it says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I have a temporal goal of losing some weight this year, but that has nothing to do with a spiritual goal. If I spend all my time trying to exercise and lose the weight and am not in the Word of God, not only will I be on the short end of the stick, but you as the people that I'm accountable to the Lord for will be on the short end of the stick. So today, as we get into three spiritual goals that I would like you to add to what other ones that you have, just consider them. Number one, be strong in the Lord's grace. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Number two, be a diligent student. And number three, be a spiritual mentor. If you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, clearly here, Paul addresses Timothy as his son, but he's not talking about Timothy being his biological son. What he's talking about is Timothy being his spiritual son. And my whole point of pointing this out is the fact that Paul is addressing believers. These are things that believers should consider doing. And so the thing that he challenges with them first is this: be strong in grace. Now, I think that the word strong is a very interesting word. It means to be endued with strength or empowered. So when you're talking about being endued with strength, that's talking about strength that comes outside of yourself. It isn't something that you have within. When it says be strong or be endued with strength, this strength has to come from someplace else. And so that's what Paul has in mind. The next word we're looking at is the word that has been stolen by the charismatics. It says, be strong in the grace, or the charis, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this context, this is the unmerited gift of assistance that comes from God that enables us to live the Christian life. You and I cannot live an effective Christian life if we do not have the empowerment of the Lord in our lives. It's just as simple as that. And so we need to understand that. Paul is saying it is the Lord. It is the Lord who gives us the strength. You know, humanly speaking, we have limited strength. We get tired and lose interest. Now, the first night my wife was gone, I worked here at the church till about 12:30, and in the evening or morning, whatever you want to say, went home and went to sleep well. I put everything together last night. I went home at about 8:30. I could not go to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just one of those things. So what I spent the morning doing when I woke up was, Lord, give me the strength to be able to get across the message that you've laid on my heart today. Because humanly speaking, even though I've had 3.5 cups of coffee, excuse me a minute, 3.75 of a cup of coffee, I need something more than what I have humanly speaking to be able to keep my mind and my thoughts in order. So we must, and truly, we must rely upon the Lord to strengthen us beyond our energies. Why is that? Well, I don't know about you, but it's easy to get weary in serving the Lord if we're doing it in the flesh. That's why we're warned, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we are serving the Lord in our own strength, somebody's going to offend us. Somebody's going to say something out of the way, or we're going to just get out of sorts. I never get out of sorts more than a couple times a day. But anyway, you know, we have to have the strength, the grace, the empowerment that comes from God to be able to do God's work in God's way. Now, there's a times in my life where I've done God's work in my way, and you know what? It always has diminishing returns when you do God's work in your own way without the direction of the Lord. Now, seeking God's faith is something that we're supposed to do. Seeking God's grace is something we're supposed to do. It's taught in both the Old and the New Testament. It's real interesting. The Galatians were a group of believers who seemed to want to do things in their own power. They wanted to do it in their own way. They wanted to do their own methodology. They didn't want to follow the chain of command. They just wanted to do their own thing. And Paul warns them of this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. He calls them a bunch of nuts. He calls them foolish. He says this in Galatians 3:3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. You know, we get saved, we get excited, we give the Holy Spirit our life and let him live in us. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, ye are now made perfect in the flesh? You're going to burn out. You are going to burn out if you're serving the Lord in your own energies, in your own plans, without seeking his guidance. Too many of us, and I already admitted that I've done that, we war after the flesh and in the flesh. We follow the path that we feel is right in our own eyes without seeking God's wisdom and seeking God's guidance. And when we follow our own path and do our own thing, as it says in Proverbs 14, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. When we do that, we are going to suffer the agony of defeat. It is inevitable that that's going to be the outcome. We need to be energized by the grace of God. One of the illustrations that came to my mind as I was preparing this is of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah tried to make a whole bunch of preparations because he knew that King Sennacherib was going to come and try and take over Judah and take over ultimately Jerusalem. So he stops up the wells and he does a bunch of other things. And it's not wrong to make those plans, but then when he sees Sennacherib on the horizon and realizes that Sennacherib has an army of 185,000 men. 185,000 men coming to a much smaller and less trained army coming to King Hezekiah and to take Jerusalem. Boy, I want to tell you, that sobered him up very quickly. Second Chronicles, we read in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8, these words. It says, be strong. He's addressing the men. Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for the multitude that is with him. For, now look at this, there be more of us than them. Now, when they looked around, unless they understand what Hezekiah said, if they didn't listen to what he said coming next, that wasn't true. Their army was much more minimal than the 185,000 that Sennacherib, trained soldiers that Sennacherib had with him. But he goes on to explain it. And he says this in verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh. Yes, he has this well-trained army. Yes, we are outnumbered. Yes, there's trouble on every side. But with us, and here's the key, with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. The king called out to the Lord for help. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 34, we read this. The Lord says, for I will defend this city, talking about Jerusalem, to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake, verse 35, and this is the part I like. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 140. Score is 20, 20, 40, 60, 80. 140. And 5,000. How many troops did Sennacherib have? 185,000 troops. So one angel goes out and he smote in the night 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, Sennacherib looks for his troops. Israel looks out, sends her spy out, look for the troops. They were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. We studied this last semester. And went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. He did not bother Hezekiah again. And here's the thing. The odds were stacked, humanly speaking, against Hezekiah. And you might be facing odds that are stacked against you. Some difficulties, some problems. You might be facing those odds. And if you sit there and you stew and get yourself all upset, I'm telling you to tap into the empowerment of the grace of God. Because if one angel can wipe out 185,000 troops, God's not short in helping us with the problems that we face in our daily lives. I have to remember that from time to time, but number one, the first thing that I want you to get is that you need to be strong in the Lord's grace. Make that a goal this year. We cannot fight the spiritual war against the world and the flesh and the devil and the arm of the flesh and be victorious. We need outside help. We need to be endued with power from above. Remember Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One that's not in there is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. Paul has this thorn in the flesh, and as I've told you before, I'm not sure what it was, but I think it was poor eyesight, but that's just an opinion. But three times he came to the Lord and he said, "Cure this, Lord." God doesn't always answer your prayers the way that you want them answered. That doesn't mean that his arm is short to deliver us in the situation just because we don't get our prayer answered the way that we want it answered. God promised him that his grace was sufficient for Paul, for God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Paul, battling with that physical problem, whatever it was mightily empowered by God and much more effective than if God would have healed that problem. Why? Because Paul had to constantly be empowered, be endued with the power that the grace of God gives us. Some of you are really facing it. Some of you really are. But be endued with power from God. Tap into that. Don't face it alone. Number two, be a diligent student. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things which thou hast heard among me of many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. First, you need to be a student. Talks about hearing the teachings of the Word of God, hearing the teaching of Paul and likely Apollos in other words. The things which thou hast heard. This year, you should make it your goal to be a learner. You have to add to what you learned last year. If you're going to be a growing Christian, you cannot just think that you've arrived. You have to be a learner. You'll be a learner if you're going to be a growing Christian for the rest of your life. I don't care if you're the age of Nyla, 143. Oh, no, excuse me, Nyla. Oh, I'm teasing her. But, you know, regardless whether you're 80, whether you're 84, 90, you need to be a learner. And it has to be new. You can't live on last year's laurels. Certainly, that lays a good foundation, but line upon line, precept upon precept, you need to grow this year. You need to be a student. Make this a year of learning. Paul told Timothy to study, and that means to make a concerted effort. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Make a concerted effort to be a student, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? You need to learn from other believers more mature than you are. You need to be faithful to church attendance so that you can hear the preaching and the teaching of God's word. And I believe that you should really, to be a student, I think that you should pick out one Bible book. One book of the Bible, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Psalms, Proverbs, Genesis, Exodus. Pick out one book of the Bible and make a diligent study of that book of the Bible. Now, that isn't just, that doesn't mean you shouldn't read other passages, but I'm talking about you need to do more. You need to do more than just read the Bible. You need to get in there and follow the cross references. You need to get yourself a Strong's Concordance and look up the words. And it's so easy when you have, my telephone has got the Strong's Concordance, the Thayer's, and all that kind of stuff in it. So you can do that quickly if you have some of those things. But where you actually pick apart, if you would, a book of the Bible. What I do when I do that is I take it and read it over and over and over and over and over again. I've read, and we're only in chapter 13, but I've read over and over again 1 Corinthians 13. That was my book last year. I'm going to pick out something new, but I'm still going to continue on preaching 1 Corinthians. But then you pick it apart. You start, you know, get your notebook out or your, if you keep it on a pad or something like that, pick it apart so that you can see what's underneath and how it applies to you and write those things down. That's what a student is. It isn't just speed reading the Bible. I'm not against Pastor Longsigns reading through his Bible twice, preachers particularly, but people too need to be very much acquainted with the Word of God, how it flows and which way it goes. It wasn't this year, but the year before last I read through the Bible. And then find a solid Christian book to read carefully. So get a biblical book of the Bible and read it carefully, but get a Christian book, a solid Christian book. Make it a goal. You know, there's a whole lot of time spent on reading the paper. There's a whole lot of time spent on watching the tube. But get a book and set aside a time where you are going to read so many pages of that book. Here's God's agenda. This is God's agenda for us, that we grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17, 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware or be on your guard, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. What is that saying? You encounter so much junk in the world, it's easy for you to fall away from your steadfastness as a Christian, and because we still all have an old nature. But then verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Growing as a Christian does not happen by accident. It's not going to happen by accident. You need meat. You can't just come and suck a bottle. Just get some of the basics, come and suck a bottle. No, 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 you need meat, and that meat comes through studying the Word of God. I got to move along, but I have Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. You can read for yourself, but it says here in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongs unto them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This talks about an active Christianity, an active study, not a passive one. And finally, because we've got to come to the Lord's table, be a spiritual mentor. The second part of verse 2 says the same, commit to faithful men. Be a mentor. What's the definition of a mentor? Someone who teaches or gives help and advice to a less experienced and often younger person, a trusted guide. To be sure, we are to be students. But you're not just supposed to learn it and keep it in your head as a Christian. There is somebody less mature than you are. It may be your children. It may be a relative. It might be somebody else in the church. You need to take what you have learned and mentor. That's a fancy name for disciple, by the way. Disciple somebody else who doesn't know as much as you do. But what if they ask questions I can't answer? Well, good. You know what that's going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to be a student again. You'll dig through it, and then you'll do to me like somebody did this past week. Oh, pastor, they texted me. Where's the verse that says blah, blah, blah? So I texted back and said, here's the verse that says blah, blah, blah. You know, the church, if we're going to propagate the church, this is how it works. We get taught by somebody and learn. And we teach somebody else who in turn, the next generation is going to learn what we've taught them, and then the cycle starts over again. One of the big problems in churches today is there are so many baby Christians in churches that have not been discipled. Pastor Longstein and I do our best to try and give opportunities. My wife gives opportunities to the ladies. We have ladies Bible study. We have the Christian Heritage School of the Bible, and we prepare things so that you can be discipled in the group. But some of you need to mentor and do one-on-one work with other people in the church who are less mature than you are, so you can get them off of sucking the bottle. You're never going to grow if you drink. I didn't get to be like this, just drinking milk, believe me. Say, what did you have for breakfast? You're going to laugh. I had steak and yogurt for breakfast. My wife is gone, so I can eat what I want. So I had steak and yogurt for breakfast. All right, I got to wrap it up so we can come to the Lord's table. Very important on the first Sunday of the year to focus our mind on Christ. But I want you to consider adding this to whatever other spiritual goals that you have. Pastor Longstein gave a good list of goals. Get that from him if you're interested. But number one, I want you to be endued with power. And the word endued means it comes from someplace else. And that means it must come from God. Be strong in the Lord's grace. You cannot face the things this year and be victorious if you are doing it under your own power. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get wearied. You're going to get mad at somebody. And you know who's going to hurt? You and those within the sphere of your influence, if you're working in the arm of the flesh. Number two, you've got to be a diligent student. Get a book of the Bible. Get a notebook. Or keep it on your pad. I don't care how you do it. Start going through it. Start looking up the cross references. Start determining what the words mean. Do the word studies. You can even come to me. I have a several thousand book library, and some of you have come, and I have loaned you books, and they have been helpful to one degree or another. Somebody goes into my library and says, have you read all those? Not on your life. But I've read parts of most of them in my studies. And then finally, be a spiritual mentor. Moms and dads, if you got kids at home, you know where your main focus is supposed to be a spiritual mentor? Right there in the home. Train up a child in the way that he should go. But go beyond that. Be a spiritual mentor to somebody else. A grandchild. A Christian that you bump into at church. Go out for coffee and have Bible study. But do your study. Don't pool your ignorance. One of the reasons I hate outside Bible studies is because somebody will come out and say, well, I think it means this. Well, I think it means that. Well, my version says this. Well, my version says that. You know, there's only one right interpretation. There's many applications, but don't pool your ignorance. If the Lord blesses me and I still have life and breath and I'm standing here in 2016 or Pastor Longstein standing here in 2016, whatever, I don't know whether I'll live tomorrow or not. I'm having no physical problems, but you just don't know. But I hope that you who are here will be more spiritually strong and spiritually mature next year than you are on this, what, fourth day of January in 2015. I don't care whether you're 10 or whether you're 88.